So there are a lot of very exciting sugyas at the end of Maseches Makos. So I'm skipping around here because I'm trying to get to like things that I think are profoundly interesting. So one of those interesting sugyas is the sugya of Ksuvas Ka'aka. The other reason I wanted to do it this week is that we read about it in this week's parsha, Parshas Kedoshim. So if anyone wants Dvar Torah for their Shabbos table and they want to give three shiurim worth of Ksuvas Ka'aka at their Shabbos table, so we have this halacha that appears in the Mishnah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says Hakosef Ksuvas Ka'aka. If a person writes a Ksuvas Ka'aka, which that's a very strange word, no? Ka'aka. My 11th graders, when I said it, made sure to laugh when I said that word because it's a funny sounding word. You don't find it in Tanakh. It doesn't appear anywhere else. It's just over here. We know from the Torah Shebal Peh that it means tattoo, but otherwise I don't even know where we would know it from that it even means tattoo. But if a person gives themselves a tattoo, kasav velo kiakea, kiakea velo kasav. If you're kasav but not kakea, or kakea but not kasav. We're going to have to see what that means. You do one half of it. Apparently there are two actions that need to be done in order to be chayiv for giving a tattoo. So if you only do one of those actions, eino chayiv ad sheyichtov v'yikakeya bidio, the word is changed to bidio from biado to bidio, uvekol davar shuroshen. One is only chayiv if he does both parts of it, the kosev and the kakeya, and only if he uses either black ink or blue ink or something that's really going to leave a mark. Rav Shimon Yehuda, Mishum Rav Shimon Omer, Einu Chayev Ad Sheyichtov Sham Es Hashem. He says, no, you're only Chayev if you write the name. Now, the name sounds like it means Shem Hashem, but the Rivan and the Gemara right away point out, no, it means Shem Avodah Zarah. That you're only chayiv for giving yourself a tattoo if you actually write like Molech or Baal or any Avodah Zarah Asherah or some name of an Avodah Zarah on your tattoo. But if you just write like a heart with your girlfriend's name and an arrow sticking through it, that's fine, according to Rabbi Shimon. Yeah?
Why would you need to say that? I think for sure if you did anything having to do with Avodah Zarah.
Ah, meaning what's the issue? Of course it's going to be, what's the additional issue? You're already chayiv misa, you're already doing Avodah. So the truth is, when getting a tattoo may not be the avoda of the avoda zara, so you're only chayiv misa when you are oved avoda zara. But that might not like you bring a sacrifice to it, you bow to it, you know things like that, and or whatever the avoda was. Some avoda zaras involve passing a child through a fire or defecating in front of it. But whatever its avoda is, but getting a tattoo just is like a sign of allegiance. It's like buying a Yankees shirt. You know, it just shows your identity, who you identify with, or getting a Yankees tattoo. I guess, you know, to show a sense of identity with that, you know, with that idea. It would certainly be usher even without this pasuk, but this pasuk makes it a specific isser daraisa, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now we don't. Now the Tanakhama didn't say that. Tanakhama said, no, whatever, black ink, blue ink, it's going to last. And you did kosev and kakeya, you're chayiv. I don't care whether it says I love my mom or whether it says avodah zara molech bal. It doesn't make a difference. It's you're going to be chayiv anyway. How do we paskin? Are you chayiv only for shem avodah zara? Are you chayiv even not for shem avodah zara? Even not, right? We pass like the Rabbanan that any sort of tattoo you're going to be chayiv for. Now, keep in mind, though, that we are learning the third parak of Maseches Makos, and the parak is called Elohein Halokin. So every mission in this parak is about things for which you get malchus. So just because we're going to say that something is not chayiv doesn't mean it's not asir. Because all the Mishnah is telling us is these are things that you get malchus for. There might be things over here that you don't get malchus for, but are still asir. Either midaraisa, you just don't get malchus, or maybe midrabanan. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon says that you're only chayiv if you get a tattoo of an avodah zarah does not tell us clearly what Rabbi Shimon would say if you get a tattoo without a shem avodah zarah. Only that you wouldn't get malchus for it. But we don't know. Maybe he holds its mutter. Maybe he holds asami drabban. Maybe he holds asadaraisi. You just don't get malchus for it. Which we'll have to discuss how that could possibly be the case. Now, why is this halach l'maisa? Most of us are not in motorcycle gangs. So why is this something that could be relevant halach l'maisa? What would be a case where something like this would come up? What? Writing on your skin. There's a kid in 12th grade. I don't want to say his name just because the recording's on. He may be embarrassed if I say his name, but I'll tell you after. There's he was bored in class last year when he was in 11th grade and he was in my class. So he was bored in class and he started just like writing with a blue pen on his arm, and he just kept on doing this for like an hour straight on his arm, and he still has a mark. It apparently pierced through his skin, and he still got over a year later. So there's a mark on his skin. So is writing on your skin a violation of getting a tattoo? Now, so that could be a relevant issue. Where else might this be relevant? What other? Or a Baal Tshuva, right? Either Ger or Baal Tshuva that has a tattoo. Now, what that's going to boil down to is there any issur to have a tattoo, or is there only an issur to get a tattoo or make a tattoo? What if you have a pre-existing tattoo? Do you have to get rid of it? You know, you have a lot of times Bali Tshuva. If you go to a men's mikvah on an Erev Shabbos, very often Bali Tshuva are more interested in going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos than people who are born from, at least in this neighborhood. Chassidim always go, but people who aren't Chassidim, so a lot of times you go to like Be'ish Kodesh or something, like on Erev Shabbos, you'll see every once in a while there'll be a guy with a tattoo there. Someone who's a Bali Tshuva will have a tattoo. So does he have an obligation to get rid of the tattoo? A lot of times they find it, a lot of times they want to get rid of it. Are they allowed to get rid of it? What do I mean, are they allowed to get rid of it? Why would that be an issue? If you're allowed to get rid of it. How do you get rid of a tattoo? Laser surgery. And it hurts. They have to cut open, I mean, not like cut open your skin, but they really have to get under the skin to remove it. Now, generally, you're not allowed to just cut yourself. In fact, the same pasuk in Chumash, it says you're not allowed to cut yourself when someone dies. So, this is a separate issue, actually. But, you know, generally, you're not allowed to just be chovel ba'atzmo. You're not allowed to just cut yourself. So, if you don't have to get rid of it, are you even allowed to get rid of it? What would be a good enough excuse to get rid of it? Like this kid that has the blue mark on his arm. So, no one would realize that that's even a tattoo. It wouldn't be embarrassing. So, is he allowed? Is he even allowed to get rid of it? So that's another issue that has to be discussed. Also, if you look in the context, both in Chumash and in the Gemara, where the issur of tattoos comes up, you know what other issurim are surrounded in the Chumash and in the Mishnayos over here. The Gemara talks about the previous Mishnah, let's say on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. It was Korech Korcha Barosha, making a bald spot in your head. Sarat Srita Achas. A person cuts himself when someone dies. Something like that. What's so bad about those things? Why does the Torah answer these things? Makiv pas rosho, be megadol b'loris, growing the hair in a certain way. All of these things are the darkei of the avodah zarah. All of these things are avodah zarah related. And that's why it makes sense that Rabbi Shimon would have such a shita that you're only going to be chayiv if you write a shem avodah zarah. Because the idea of a tattoo, the idea of an isra of a tattoo, seems to be very much connected to some sort of isra of avodah zarah. So the other question is, does that affect any of the halacha? Does the fact that it comes from, that the isra is based in some sort of isra of association with avodah zarah, affect any of the halachos of the isra itself? Or is it just, it's good trivia to know that it comes from avodah zarah, or it's stam, you're just good to know the chumash, but it's not about the halacha. The halacha is still going to be independent of that. Yeah.
What was the whole thing with getting buried in the cemetery?
So that's one of those misconceptions. Once I spent a whole chodesh adar, instead of giving 10-minute halacha shiurim, I gave 10-minute non-halachas. So one of the non-halachas is that you can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery if you have a tattoo. My guess where it comes from is probably if they had an unidentified body and they saw it had a tattoo, it was a siman mufak that it wasn't a Jew. So they wouldn't bury the person in a Jewish cemetery. But if you know who it is and you know that the person is a Jew, it's either that or there's another halacha that you're not supposed to be covered tzaddik etzel rasha, or even tzaddik gamar etzel tzaddik shenu gamar. For example, the Mishnayos and Sanhedrin talk about people who are chayiv misas beizdin. And it says that the Beis Din had cemeteries, and they had separate cemeteries for people who are chayiv different levels of misa. Because if you did something for which you chayiv skila, it's much more severe than if you did something for which you chayiv hereg, let's say. So they wouldn't put you in the same cemetery because it's a rasha etzel tzaddik, or neither of them are tzaddik, but it's a rasha chamor or etzel rasha kal. So he used to try to separate in the cemetery where they would bury people. So it could be that the guy who had a tattoo, he had a simen on his body that he did not just an avera, not just a lav, but something that's associated in some way with Avodah Zarah. So someone that comes with such a siman on his body that he's so not religious, maybe they didn't want to bury him with regular religious people. So, but there's no halacha per se, any more than someone who's Mechal Shabbos shouldn't be buried next to Tzaddik. Now, that's actually where the minhag comes from. In many cemeteries, if you ever, I don't know if you go to a cemetery, but if you see, in many cemeteries, they'll have like entire sections that are owned by certain shuls or by certain societies, you know. You'll find like, in Yisrael of Woodmere has an entire section of the cemetery or, you know, whatever shul it is. And the basis of that minhag, Rav Shachter explained to us, is based on this idea that the assumption is that people who associate in the same community are roughly around the same level of religious observance. So they try to keep them together as opposed to mixing from all different types of communities where they have different levels of religious observance. It's not exact, obviously. The biggest tzaddik in your shul is probably very different than the biggest rasha in your shul. But nevertheless, it's it approximates at least, you know, the level of religious observance. So that's what it might be. That's what that might be based on. But there's no actual halacha. The stamma, there were babbies that didn't want their grandkids who weren't from to get tattoos, and they would scare them by telling them you can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery. So once they said I'm going to die if you get a tattoo, and that didn't work, so they probably went to the Jewish cemetery argument. So they figured out all sorts of ways to use Jewish guilt. So, what if your tattoo is a reflection of Avodas Hashem? How could you have a tattoo as a reflection of Avodas Hashem? Let's say you learn Kabbalah and you want to have all the Shemos written all over. What is it, Steph Curry has on his wrists, and Madonna has somewhere on her body some tattoos of Hebrew letters, and because they're into the Kabbalah. So, is that meaning that's the opposite of Avodas Zarah? Maybe it's not. Okay, so these are all things to discuss. Part of what we're going to have to discuss also is the issue. So I mentioned already, is it an issue in the Maisa, or is it an issue in the having the tattoo? So it's definitely an issue in the Maisa. The question is it also an issue in the having? But once we talk about the Maisa, like which part of the Maisa? Let's say you say, I can't take the pain, so put me out and give me a tattoo. When I wake up, I'll see the tattoo there. So you aren't doing anything at the time. So are you going to be chayev for getting such a tattoo just because you know that they were doing it to you? Or is it only the person who's kosev?
You caused it to happen.
Caused it to happen, but can you get malchus for causing it? So usher, probably. But can you get malchus for that? For something you didn't do a mice at all for?
Can you get malchus for paying something off your or anything? Is there any type of case where, like, just...
When the paying is not the issue, probably not. Ain't shliach l'dvaraveira. So even though you're making them your shliach, probably not. So, and how active do you have to be? And can two people get malchus? Let's say the guy giving it and the guy getting it are both Jewish. Can they both get malchus? Can you be misayaya in any way? Let's say I have a guy in my shul who's an anesthesiologist. So he's a very industrious fellow. He figures out ways to use his education and his training to make money in a variety of different ways. Very, very smart guy in that way. He's a real businessman, even though he's a doctor. So one of the things he was doing, or he was interested in doing, he asked me if he's allowed to do, I gave away the answer already, but he was interested in doing at some point, was to provide anesthesia for tattoo parlors. There are people that it's not always big, tough, motorcycle guys that get tattoos. Sometimes a bunch of wimps that want to get a tattoo and they want to look tough, and they can get a tattoo and they don't want to go through the pain. So it's nice to have an anesthesiologist on staff who can come and give them something that will, inject them with something that they won't feel anything for a while. So he asked me if he's allowed to do that. Is that a problem of misayaya? I remember when I met Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, so I didn't know how long I had with him. I had like a one-on-one meeting with him in his house, in his apartment. So I asked him like the four questions that I had prepared, and then he answered them. And then I'm like, birds chirping, like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, there was no one there to, like, rush me out or anything. So I'm like, all right, might as well ask him that one. So I asked him that one. He's like, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. I was like, I'm sorry, I just had nothing else to say, Then finally someone came. I was like, okay, buddy, your time is up. get out of here. So where was that? Yeah, so there are all sorts of, there's a shaila about, let's say you have an inappropriate picture tattoo. Do you have an obligation to remove that? You're allowed to put on tefillin. And a guy had a scantily clad woman tattooed on his left arm. and then he became a Baal Tshuva. And that's the Makom HaTefillin. Can you make a bracha on that? Put the tefillin right over that. Is it Bizui Mitzvah? Something like that. You have all sorts of interesting... What? Oh, okay. And the Lashon, the Chumash, Uksuvas Kaka. What's Kosev? Kosev is writing. So where else do we have Dinim of Kosev? Of Ksiva? We have, what? By Tefillin? By Shabbos? So by Get? So there are Dinim. How much does writing a tattoo conform to the normal halachos of Kosev? What if you write only Osachas, not Shte Osios? Is that a Chiva? What about Ksav al Gabi Ksav? You have a tattoo already, so you write more on top of it. You overlay it with something. So is that considered a violation would you get Malkus for that? Because you could argue it's not Kosev, it's Ksav al Gabi Ksav. Maybe you wouldn't have a din of Kosev. Yeah, let's say you already got Malkus for having the first one, and now you feel like, yeah, I'm ready for some more. So you overlay it with another one. Meaning, is a valid way of getting rid of a tattoo just by maybe inserting more ink and just blurring the whole thing, blotching it, instead of, right? Because it's Ksav al Gabi Ksav, so maybe that... And then that way you'll erase what was there, but just by blotching it out. So that's what we have to talk about. Is it a letter, an image, or just anything? The kid that has just blue ink on his arm still from last year.
And it has nothing to do with inflicting yourself with pain.
What?
It has nothing to do with inflicting yourself with pain.
It's different. It's a separate issue, right? Separate issue. Although, in that same pasuk, it says about cutting yourself as a sign of mourning, as a sign of avelus over death. Right. Right, that's true. Not be that when I was at JC in Camp Masora years ago, there was a band a long time ago before my time called the Grateful Dead. You may have heard of them, and the lead singer of the Grateful Dead, I believe the lead singer or someone important in the Grateful Dead, was named Jerry Garcia, which led to one of the great brilliantly named flavors of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, Cherry Garcia. So Jerry Garcia died. And a kid in camp was such a fan of the Grateful Dead that he cut himself. He cut himself all up his arms. And at the time, you know, a lot of the kids thought that was funny because, like, they didn't realize that that's an illness, you know, that the kid needed serious help. But he cut himself. But that's also Nisa Daraisa, to cut yourself as a sign of mourning. And he said, I cut myself because I'm mourning the loss of Jerry Garcia. So so that would be that specific issue. It also comes up in cosmetics. A lot of times women will get like these permanent cosmetics. So they won't have to put on makeup on their eyes, and so it'll be done right. They'll just inject something under their eyelids or whatever, and so is that a violation of a tattoo? It's not a letter, it's not an image, it's just a blotch of color. And are there any sniff of mahakel? Sometimes cancer patients who are going through chemo who want to get, you know, cosmetic eyebrows or something because they don't have eyebrows, so, or something like that. So to what extent do we say mishum refuah, emotional health, that kind of thing, that we can...
It might be like a lot of that type of stuff is psychological. So if you try to get the person in a better mood, it could help.
Right, so the question is, if you're dealing with pikuach nefesh, so then obviously it would be docha kol tarkula. It's questionable whether that's pikuach nefesh, though. And what type of it, you know, if we're dealing with an issur d'oraisa, probably would not be doch an issur d'oraisa, but a drabanan, probably yes. So we have to figure that out as well. Where else? So let's say, okay. So these are the broad discussions that have to be had. Just one more point in the Gemara before we move on to some of these discussions. And the way I laid out the packet for you, I realized I forgot to number the sources. So. Whatever, we'll deal with it. We'll figure out how to communicate as to which source to look at a given time. But the way I laid out the packet for you is Gemara, Rishonim, some Achronim on the Gemara, so we can learn the Sugya first. Then Halacha, Torah Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch Shach Pischei Tshuva, and Tshuvas of various Gedolim. That's the way the Sugya lays out. So anyway, so we already had one machlokas in the Mishnah. The machlokas in the Mishnah was about whether writing something other than a Shem Avodah Zarah is an Issa D'oraisa. Another machlokas comes up in the Gemara, though. If you look in the Gemara, 2-3 lines into the Gemara, Amar of Malkia, Amar of Ad Barava, Asalo Adam Shiitain Efer Mikla Al Gabe Makaso, Mimne Shaniris Kiksuvas Kaka, that a person is not allowed to put a certain type of ashes over a wound because that looks like Suvas Kaka. What does that mean, ashes over a wound? Why would you put ashes on a wound? What would be the... What? Yeah, apparently it would either stop the bleeding, you know, like a moel, sometimes they have a powder that they put on the baby to cause the... to clot a little bit and stop the bleeding. So maybe to stop the bleeding or something to help the wound heal. So it's usher to do that, says Rav Malkia in the name of Rav Adbarava, because it's nires kiksuvas kaka. Why is it nires kiksuvas kaka? In the action that you're doing, or in the result? Sounds like the result, because you're going to be left with like that kid in the 12th grade who's got a mark on his arm. But the action is very different, because you're not using ink. The Mishnah said, yo, kol, you got to use some sort of ink. Yeah.
So, applying this to something more recent, would he claim from this that like a sleeve, like a tattooed sleeve, would be also...
Ah, meaning, to what extent do we say nearest kiksuvas kaka? How closely do you have to look and still be nearest? So, tattoo sleeve, or... They, like at children's birthday parties, they give those fake tattoos that stay on the kids for like a week. So first of all, is it even LP Ruach HaTorah? You could argue that, you know, especially if the whole gedder of tattooing is an Avodah Zarah Inyan. You know, even if we apply it to other types of tattoos, and we paskin that it applies to all tattoos, but if the whole basis of it was Avodah Zarah, that's really what we want our kids walking around with fake tattoos for a week, that's what we aspire to. So that's al pi ruach hatorah, but even al pi halacha, if you say that, what else would be asur mishamaris ayin, that it looks like a tattoo? Meaning that this is a very great chiddush. That it's not only a din in the maisa, it's a din in having a result that makes it look like a tattoo. Right? So, but this is a machlokas. The Gemara goes on to say that, where am I? So then the Gemara just identifies who says different statements throughout Shas, because there are two Amorim, one named Rav Malkiya, one named Rav Malkiyo, and you can see how that will be confusing. You know, the Gemara never does that for Rabba and Rava, because it would take like pages and pages just to list the cases that they're in. But Rav Malkiya and Rav Malkiyo, there are only six cases in all of Shas where one of them comes up. So the Gemara tries to identify who's who. So the Gemara tells her, "Pibi Barabai." In the last line of the Gemara, "Kapeda filu arivda du kusilta." Ravashi amar kol makom shei sham maka. Here's the key line. Ravashi says, "No, whenever there's a maka, makasu mochiach alav. Whenever there's a wound there, it's not going to look like tattoos. It's not going to look like you did the Yisrof Ksuvas Kaka, because everyone's going to realize that there was a healing wound over there, so they're going to realize on their own that it was not a tattoo, it was just afer that you were putting on your skin in order to help the wound heal. So what's the Nukudas HaMachlokas over there? Yeah, so what we have to really clarify here is what the Metzias is. Meaning, are these ashes going to be there forever? Does the Yisur of a tattoo have to be there forever? What if you have a tattoo that's underneath a certain number of layers of skin but will disappear after a while? You know, there are certain... I'll give you another example. Spray tans. So, we think of a spray tan as something that's over the skin. It's not so. I did some research once. A woman asked me, she had to go to the mikveh, and she had just gotten a spray tan. You know, people do this apparently. They get, you know, in the wintertime, they don't want to look pale.
I think it's still on the skin from the beginning, and then it's not.
Right, and seeps in. And then you shower, and whatever's still left on the surface of the skin gets washed off, but whatever seeped in under the skin is still under a layer or two of skin. So how deep does it have to be in order for it to be a violation of a tattoo? Now, the truth is, by a spray tan, there's no cutting. So it definitely wouldn't be Chayv Malkus, it's definitely not the Issa D'oraisa, which, by the way, is another issue we have to discuss. What if you do one and not the other? What did the Mishnah say? Kasav lo kakeh, kakeh lo kasav, eino chayiv ad sheichlo v'kakeh. Is it Asr, though? Is it Asr to do one without the Issa?
With a fake tattoo, if you're not, if you're
Right, not piercing the skin. So the question is that asur or is it heter gamur? And what level of permanence is it? Let's say you are piercing some skin, but you just a little bit. So it's not going to be so permanent. It'll be there for 30 days, for a year. For some, does it have to be permanent in terms of forever permanent? To get through the first layer of skin is nothing. It's very easy. Right.
So you can say that.
Right. It's a metal instrument that will. Yeah, that's supposed to be discussed. What if you use your fingernails to like scratch and then you put some ink on? So is it, do fingernails not scratch enough for it to be an issue? So again, we have more. Right now, all we did is we asked a million questions because there are. It's a short Gemara. There isn't that much to say. There's a lot to say, but there isn't that much in terms of Gemara in all of Shas on this topic. This is it. You know, there's the only other situation in Shas that comes up is if you write a get shichur on neved, or you write a get on neved and you give the evet to your wife and misachas gittin. So it's an unusual case, but typically, but really in terms of the sugya of asur or mutter to get a tattoo, what is asur, what's mutter, it's all right here in these 8 lines of Maseches Makos Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. So right now we just raised a whole bunch of questions without really dealing with anything. So let's try to take a look at the Rishonim and deal with one issue at a time. First issue I want to deal with is just the geder of the isur, the idea that it relates somehow to Avodah Zarah, because that's an important it's an important way to frame the entire Isser for us. So we already point out that in the Psukim, it's in the context of Darkei Avodah of the Kochavim, that in the Mishnais, it's in the context of other things that of the Kochavim do. If you look at the Rivan, the way the Mishnais used to be written was they were all one big Mishnah. The entire Perek was one big Mishnah. When I was in Sotheby's a number of years ago, I got a call from a DRS graduate from the first ever class of DRS. Now he's already, I don't know, my I have Talmidim that are only 5 years younger than me because I started teaching when I was 22. So I don't know, he must be in his 30s already because I'm 37. So he called me up and he said, I'm going to Sotheby's, they have an exhibit of rare Sfarim from like hundreds of years ago and we're getting a private showing with Rav Schechter, you want to come? I'm like, yeah. So it was like, it was awesome. So we saw all these like amazing Sfarim, and just listening to Rav Schechter's comments on them was very interesting. And one of the things we saw was old Gemaras from before the Vilna Shas was published, like the old editions of the Gemara. And the way they had it was that at the beginning of every Perek was all the Mishnayos as one big Mishnah, and then the entire Perek of Gemara. That's the way it was formatted. Which was fascinating because a lot of times you'll see that a previous Mishnah is referred to as a Reisha and the next Mishnah is a Seif, but it's not a Reisha and Seif, it's two different Mishnahs. The answer is no, it's not. It's one big Mishnah and you know, a lot of times even the Gemara, it'll be off a little bit. Like the Gemara will be explaining the previous Mishnah instead of explaining the Mishnah that it's on, because they just, you know, when they formatted it in the wrong, they just put it in the wrong spot. So they just have, or a couple of Prakim in Shas where there's only one Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. The first Mishnah, first Perek of Masechet Sanhedrin. It's one Mishnah, and then you have the whole entire Perek. Why is it only? They probably just forgot to divide it. If you look at the Mishnahs, it's like 6 Mishnahs. They probably just forgot to break it up. So that's the way it used to be. That was one big Mishnah. So I think you get the context of Mishnahs over here is also it's one big discussion. Eluwe Nalokin, one big Mishnah. And once we start talking about Avodah Zarah related things, Ksuvas Kaka comes up within that context. But if you look in Rashi over here, Rashi is not Rashi. That's important to know. Rashi over here is the Rivan, because on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, I think it was. Yeah, if you look on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, in Rashi, in about the 7th or 8th skinny line in Rashi, there in parentheses it says, Rabbeinu Gufo Tahar, our master Rashi, his body was pure, V'yatza Nishmaso B'Tahara, and his neshama left him with purity, Lo Piresh Yoser, and he didn't explain anymore. Mikan ve'elach loshon talmido Rabbeinu Yehuda bar Nasan. So essentially, Rashi left us hanging on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis without any explanation of the last 5 dapim of Maseches Makos. So his talmidim filled in for him, And one of his Talmidim, the Rivan, wrote the whole rest of Rashi's commentary on Maseches Magos. You have a few places in Shas where Rashi's Talmidim took over for him. The Rivan does a better imitation of Rashi than the Rashbam does. The Rashbam doesn't even seem at all like Rashi. He just writes and writes and writes. It's like very, very verbose, very not Rashi-like. Rashbam has in Bava Basra and in Psachim. The Rivan at least does, like, you know, close imitation of Rashi. So the Rivan writes over here in Dibra Maskel Ksuvas Ka'aka on the Gemara, Ksuvas Ka'aka lo titnu bachem, shum Ksuvas Ka'aka lo yasu lufanai, shani Hashem. You can't do any sort of tattooing, shani Hashem, va'asur natem lichtov shem acher al besarchem, and you can't write anything. Alma ikur chiyuva mishum shem avodas kochavim hu. Umiyu asur lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam afilu Rabbi Shimon. El d'chiv malkus leka. Very important chiddush, he says, that the ikur iser is Shema Vodazara. And if you don't write a Shema Vodazara, you write something else. So then what? So he's saying it's Asr. But what does he mean, Asr? Midrabanan or Midaraisa? So he never uses the word Midrabanan. Sounds like he holds that other things are also Midaraisa, but they're not the Iker Isr. And you don't get Malkus for them. What does this sound like? What? Oh, levels of Daraisa. And we just discussed this last week when it came to Bal Tishaktsu. Rav Asher Weiss had this Gevaldike Chiddush that there are certain things in the Torah where there's an Iker that the Torah is telling you, and there are other Doraisas that are clearly secondary. And he gave the example, for example, the Isser of Bal Tashchis is an Isser to cut down a fruit tree. It's also an Isser to waste things. But that's a secondary level of the same Isser. It's all Doraisa. And whenever you have an ikr and something secondary, you only get the onesh, the malchus, on the ikr. So he suggested, Rav Asher Weiss suggested by Bal Tishaktsu, that the ikr iser of Bal Tishaktsu is don't eat bugs. Secondary level of the iser, don't do something gross, don't hold yourself in from going to the bathroom, don't drink out of a toilet, don't do, right, all those are all daraisa. But you're not going to get malchus, because it's secondary level iser. It seems that the Rivan is saying exactly that. That if you hold that the Isser includes not just writing a Shem Avodah Zarah, even if you hold that it's not just writing a Shem Avodah Zarah, the Iker Isser is writing a Shem Avodah Zarah. And you only get, I'm sorry, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that you only get Malkus for writing a Shem Avodah Zarah, it's not because writing other things is only Drabanan. No, writing other things is also Daraisa. But you only get Malkus for Shem Avodah Zarah, because that is the Iker Isser. It seems that the Rivan is teaching us that great Kiddush. We had other examples also of Iker and Tafel, if you recall. We had the example of whenever the Torah says Lo Sochal, Lo Yochal, Lo Yeyachel, it means both an Isra Achila and an Isra Anah. But the Iker is Isra Achila. Secondarily, it's an Isra Anah. Okay, Hashem, we'll really start digging our teeth into the Sugya tomorrow.